Well, we're still working on it. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is with us. She's our financial analyst, the official.
Something new every week.
I like that one, though. Do you like this one?
That one was good. That one was good.
It's Weezer.
Sort of suits her.
It's a little Weezer. Sort of. But it's Suzanne.
Oh,
Susan.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
We still haven't quite got it right.
Tweaking things.
We will. There's got to be. The closest one was the Elton John one. But it's so old and irrelevant. That was the problem.
Yeah.
By the way, this is all brought to you by Keller Business, Managing Your Future. And I just want to say that this I'm confused by. You have so much to explain today. I don't even know where to begin.
I know. Today was so interesting.
So all of these retail big box or the bricks and mortar
bricks
stores.
Bricks and mortar, big stores.
Big stores. Like you got your Macy's, you got your Nordstrom's, places like that. Multiple locations, lots of inventory. And what were they reporting in earnings?
Not good. Really not good. So we started the week and Macy's reported, and that was what was just disappointment to all. So really missed on the earnings on that. And then really took themselves down. So we saw up to 15% down in stock prices this week. It started with Macy's. It continued with Kohl's. Last night we had a really bad report from Nordstrom's. So all of
and
these
and that's a spectral thing, right? Because you got sort of Kohl's at the right. Medium
crossed,
low part.
You've crossed the bandwidth there of, you know, sort of better and best. Now, we still have discount yet to go. So TJ Maxx, Ross, they're reporting next week. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens to the sales there and if they held up. But all of these retailers are talking
what would that
about,
tell you?
Well, then I think people are just smarter shoppers. So there's no sales special. There's no seasonal pattern other than normal. It's not, you know, the semi-annual sale or, you know, come in this week 30% off.
Because this is looking at second quarter earnings or first quarter earnings?
Well, and that just for TJ Maxx and Ross, you don't have those. So it's very even. But it's always low price, right? Their advertisement and their shtick is it's a discount. Come in for a better deal. And so what it shows you is the consumer, I think, is being much smarter in how they shop. Okay. And so they're moving away from the big box bricks and mortars. Now, we did get a contrary data point this morning, which was the consumer spend, which was really high. Everyone thought it was going to be terrible after hearing these reports from Macy's and Nordstrom's. And as it turns out, it was completely the opposite. It surprised to the upside. So consumers are actually spending. And then the mystery is, where are they spending?
Oh, boy. Well, where are they spending?
Online.
Oh.
Right? We know it. We think about it. You forget. So we saw this.
That's why that's all that drone traffic over my house right
that's
now, right? That's the problem?
Dropping off
They're
packages.
Dropping boxes. You hear things hit your roof. So that's what's happening. And we're not, you know, we're not, the retailers are trying to adjust to this as quickly as they can. But bricks and mortar, that's a lot to move. And while they all have an online presence or they're trying to have an online presence, it's still very tough to have that omni-channel, which is where you can go into the store or just online and try to execute that effectively. Consumers are staying at home on their couch, taking a look at what's online. They know what they want. They're going straight to online to get it and have it delivered to their doorstep.
And there's the replicatability, too, of when you go into your inbox and your email or you're surfing, all of a sudden the ads for what you already want to buy are popping up, right?
Right. So once you go and look for something online, there's a lot of sophisticated marketing technology that can be used. And you're seeing that. You know, the ads that pop up while you're surfing online are targeted to you. They're collecting data on you every time you stop at a website. And so we're getting smarter and smarter on how to use that data and turn it back on the consumer to try and get a sale.
They know exactly what I want. I mean, it's so. I mention this to you all the time, Ro. That like I'll be at home on my iPad, looking at certain tops or shoes or something. Then I'll come to work on a separate computer, and boom, exactly that type.
Right.
They're tracking my social media. They're, you know, they know who I am. They know my profile.
It's amazing how sophisticated the technology's gotten, and it's a very accelerating pace, right? This is really built over the last couple of years. So it's just getting better and better, pinpointed to the consumer. And we saw this at year end when we saw the holiday sales. So we saw traffic. We were really concerned about traffic in the stores and in the malls, how people were feeling about the economy. But online still had a really big bump. I think it was up 10% year over year. So it's interesting to see. I think we're seeing a shift in consumer behavior. And that's what makes this so interesting.
It's wild. You know, does that negatively impact local, cities and towns because you're losing tenants? You're losing the actual physical presence of the bricks and mortar? Does that have any impact like that, to have it all going online?
Right. Retail? Well, I don't think it can all go online. There'll still be some local presence needed. But that's the big issue going forward, is how do these retailers adjust to this? Their margins are shrinking because they're not getting the same level of sales, but their costs are staying the same because of this physical presence. So how can they adjust to that? They're trying to think about the number of locations that they have, limiting the number of people that they need, mm-hmm. taking costs down. But at the same time, they're looking at it going, wow, we better beef up our internet access and our ability to sell online. So they're trying to balance it out. The cities are going to see, I think, just a change in what the consumer needs and what the population base needs. So I do think on a long-term 10, 20-year trend, this does have some serious implications.
Well, Amazon just announced that they're going to be starting with same-day delivery and a much wider group of product than they had before, right?
Right.
So in order to do that, you have to have people in place,
right,
to make those deliveries.
And distribution centers, because you have to have that material, that item close to,
right,
the location you want to get it to.
Good for jobs,
it's
right?
It's great for jobs. And in fact, Amazon just announced that they are building out another, again, like this, the immediate delivery to your home. Ordered at 1 p.m., it might be at your house by 4 p.m. You can get it the same day, same afternoon. And they are building out the centers to do that. To do that, you need staffing. So this is very people intensive. Mm-hmm. And they are spending a lot on developing that distribution infrastructure.
So they have their own trucks, essentially. Amazon, at least, they have
They're going to have their own trucks. They're going to have their own drivers.
Targeted delivery trucks.
Right. They're going to have their own people staffing these centers. You know, effectively, their own little mini, whether it's FedEx, UPS, Postal Service, mm-hmm. their own little mail department, getting these things out to you as fast as they can.
What about the mail? What about the post office? You know, I just saw commercials for them about, mm-hmm. hey, we're the ones delivering to you. And then they have, you know, the postal trucks have all the different logos of the companies that they deal with on the side of the trucks in the commercial. And I'm thinking, really? It's all about, oh, we're such great customer service folks. And then you go to the post office and you're like, wait over there. I'm on break. Can't you see I'm on break? All right, I'm on break, right? Yes, I'm still on break.
But then are all three of you on break? And then sometimes
yes.
they are. Sometimes
yes.
they are.
Yeah, they're discussing yeah. amongst themselves.
Right.
It takes
what
time.
They'll do on their break.
How
right.
long is the break going to be? I don't know. And they're all screaming it across at each other. I mean, it is really, I think they're going to have to try to figure that out, because the Postal Service is going to lose out to, if Amazon is going to be doing this within their own infrastructure.
Exactly. So remember all those boxes that were delivered to your doorstep at year end for the holidays, those are all now going to be coming direct from Amazon. They're not going to have to ship through the U.S. Postal Service. So they get
or
cut,
FedEx or DHL.
Or FedEx or DHL, UPS. They get cut out of that equation now. And so that changes, I think, the game in a big way.
But there will be plenty of other.
Oh, there's still plenty, because remember, this is Amazon shipping to itself. But if you want to mail something to one of your friends, you still have to use one of those other services. Amazon mm-hmm. is not
like a threat
your,
or something like
Amazon
that.
Amazon is, yes.
Not think, there's no things I mail anymore.
Not at your disposal. So it's going to be very interesting to watch how this creates, I think, change within our retail community, and we're going to have to see some sort of transition. But again, this is a 5-year
okay.
trend.
So now, but here's the thing. Hmm. I mean, I buy stuff online, and especially like buying clothes online. I don't know. It shows up, and maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't.
Well, they make it so easy to return now, though, too.
Right. Like,
but
order
you have to
two. Am I, you know, am I four or six? And then you order them both, and you try them on, right, Anna?
Sure,
and
I do it all the time.
I think I'm more of a six.
I find that I'm buying things online now that I never would have bought before, like shoes, for
right,
instance. I wouldn't have really trusted that they'd fit, and
exactly.
I want to try them on. Mattresses. I bought one for my little daughter's new bed online because it was such a great deal. And I know I try to support local merchants. I know that's a key thing, but still the deals online, I think, are what sometimes drive you.
Well, and also the comfort, right? So as you just said, you buy shoes online because now you trust that you're going to get better quality. You feel comfortable with it. As our consumer grows more comfortable with doing these transactions online, more and more of them are happening online. And so that comfort level is escalating aggressively. And that's where the switchover is coming.
All right. Well, there's some things I like, right? Because there are certain things I buy you can't find everywhere. And it's like I can sit there and go, well, I got to go to this one store. It's kind of over there. It's the other one's got it. And I'll go. And I'm like, and then I just will go to Amazon and I'll order it. And it'll mm-hmm. be there the next day or 2 days or whatever. And then I'm like, by the time I have thought about it long enough,
it saves you
time. It has already arrived and I'm good to go, Right. So, I mean, that's the thing. All right. Now, what's also interesting, though, is you said that there's been a pop in housing-related.
So, yes, that was interesting today, too, because where we did see consumer spend, retail sales were down overall and well below, above expectations, but in hard goods and in the traditional retailer, as we think of it, that big box, they were down. That's what we've seen from the earnings reports. But what we did see was an increase in sales of goods that are really related to the housing and really, I think, indicate that we are seeing a revival in housing across the country. So things like appliances, building products.
Oh, that's good.
So renovation, because there's a whole other set of metrics that you guys look at in terms of housing starts.
Right.
Existing
so
house
there's
sales.
A big difference between new homes and repair, renovation, remodel.
Right.
So new homes, new starts, that's a different metric. Existing homes sold, those are two separate metrics.
So where are we on that? What
so
are things happening?
We're doing better. We're over a million starts a year, which is on new housing. So that's very good. You would like to be even more than that.
Does that mean that all of that inventory that was left fallow after 2008 has been absorbed? Or just left behind?
Not necessarily. So back to the old real estate adage, location, location, location. If you built a subdivision in a cornfield that's 3 hours away from a city and there's been no development in that direction, probably no one is living there. So that has been left behind. Whereas if you had new houses, new development, or you had lots and land that were to be developed inner city, inside the central urban zone, because we are seeing people go back into these urban zones, that's probably been moved by now and that's been used up. So yes and no. Some of it's been redeployed and has been purchased and bought up. Some of it just was a bad decision.
All right, hold on 1 second. Stay right there. We're going to come back. We'll talk about that. Plus, this is interesting. The older end of the workforce just got older and refuses to leave. I would like to blame Trump for this, and we will explain all of that. But first, Violetta Powder-Medic's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, doesn't she?
Susan, looks like I'm losing my mind.
Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas is here. She is the Senior Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager, Research Analyst at Westwood in Dallas. And she knows a lot about the markets and a lot about the money and a lot about what's going on in the world. And therefore, she comes here and tells us every Friday, brought to us by our very dear friends at Keller Graduate School of Management. Now, we were talking about this kind of interesting. Old folks refuse to leave the workplace now, right? Isn't that what the new...
Well, we're seeing a new statistic, which is very interesting. So 20% of Americans over 65 are still in the workforce. And that's a very... that's just a new phenomenon. So we
what
used
was
to
it
think,
before? Was it, there the base number that we're...
I think the base number was in the low teens. But it depends on when you go back to the 50s.
Right.
You know, how many decades do
zero,
you want to go back?
Because they're all dead by then.
But how many decades do you want to go back? It's changed, but it's gradually creeping up. And we've seen a marked increase recently. So it's, I think, speaks to being underemployed, wanting to keep busy, and then also not having enough savings. But it's both. I have to be there because I need the money, and also I'm still feeling young and I don't want to be at home. So I want to stay working. So it's very interesting that we're having this shift towards older employees in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, people are living longer too, and it feels like it might be a lot of runway ahead of you to not work. And many of us might think that sounds great, but if you enjoy what you do...
If you enjoy what you do, or that's your social contact and that's your interaction, people want to stay engaged. And so it's interesting to see that this is extending. And again, another labor source, this is changing our social structure on how we handle things. And so it's interesting to see that we have this factor coming into play. We're going to see older people in the workforce. I think that continues, particularly given the uncertainty around healthcare, long-term healthcare, you know, social security, how do I support myself as I age? So there's some other concerns about that stemming from, you know, our fiscal problems.
But how does that keep the younger end from coming in to the workforce?
Well, it's interesting because if you think about the people over 65, largely they are, we would say, underemployed. So they're employed, but they're in a job that maybe during
welcome
their
to
current,
Walmart, can I get you a cart?
Potentially. Mm-hmm. And potentially that person could have been, you know, a high-end advertising executive at one point. You never know. So it could be that they're just using it for social connection or something that they want to do, just a little extra benefits. Frequently, it's because I want to keep benefits going. So it's a unique phenomenon that I think we're seeing. I think we're going to continue to see this. And I don't think it squeezes out the younger people coming into the workforce. I just think it adds an extra dimension.
I want to be the guy in the golf cart that drives around, tells people to keep moving along.
That'd be a good job for you.
Yeah, the ranger.
You like to yell at people. Yeah.
Hey! You got to keep up with the forest in front of you, pal. Got to keep moving.
Well, you could have your own little wagon out at O'Hare, driving people around from gate to gate.
Or a Segway.
Running people over.
I love that.
Right? Wouldn't that be fun? Right, you get to beep at everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. I could do that.
Could be like the mall cop.
Although those people, the people who are always on that cart, they look like, it's sort of like, it reminds me, there should be an oxen drawing that cart,
yeah.
Right? It's like these old Eastern European. With all due respect, Violetta, with all these like you know people like it looks like an ox cart going by, and you know what I the one problem that I have in modern society is I'm not in the best shape of all humanity, so take this with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But when people are too heavy to walk through the airport, you should probably think about doing something about that. Just me. It's just me thinking that.
Oh.
Just don't go to the airport then or something. Because it's like they raise their hand. They go, all right, I'll take this cart. Well, you know what? It would help if you walked down there. That would be good. That would be helpful.
Come on.
I do appreciate the cart guys, though, because as we know, I travel a lot to visit companies. And I'm frequently in airports. And I do have an experience or two where I was running really late for my flight and the gate was very far away. And I've talked one of them into speeding me over.
Do you stand up in the seat and go, get out of the way? I have an analyst meeting to get to. These are people. The people love that when that happens.
Yeah, I tend to cut it a little close, which is probably not the wisest move. But there's so much to do.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about I like the walking through the airport anyway. I know sometimes I'm late too, and
you enjoy it.
I do because the people watching is spectacular.
Yeah,
in the
it's great. Yeah.
I just find people seem so miserable when they travel for the
most
part.
That
I don't
to watch
really
them
like looking
miserable.
At all
but,
that.
But there's
and
so
I'm
many
miserable too.
There's
most
so many
times.
Different types of people being miserable. That's what makes it fascinating. Mm. Right. Just all walks of life. I agree
I like
with
Disney
Ro.
World
it's
better,
wonderful.
Where everybody's happy.
Well, how do you get there?
And everybody's
I mean, that's
happy.
Really the problem. How do you get there? All right. Thank you very much, Susan Schmidt. And
my
that was
pleasure.
All brought to us by Keller Graduate School of Management, Managing Your Future with Susan Schmidt from Westwood. And we will play you the Trump tapes coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But